Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis today, and we're sponsored by Simply Safe Home Security. Go to simplysafe.com/ricochet to get 10% off your home security system. Jim, let's start with the good martini, and this is one of the issues we've talked about a number of times since Donald Trump took office. He made big promises in cleaning up the VA, and sometimes along the way we weren't so sure. Other days we've seen better results, and this seems to be one of those better results. This is courtesy of Government Executive. President Trump this week will sign an executive order to create a new office in the Veterans Affairs Department to increase employee accountability and protect whistleblowers, according to a White House official. The order will establish the Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection within VA, which has for years taken heat from lawmakers and stakeholders for failing to quickly root out problematic employees. Details of the office and who will staff it were not made clear in advance of the signing, but the official said it will help VA Secretary David Shulkin, quote, to discipline or terminate VA managers or employees who fail to carry out their duties in helping our veterans. Unquote. The office will also enable the secretary to identify barriers to his ability to put the well-being of our veterans first. So, Jim, there's a ton of red tape, a lot of bureaucracy, particularly at the VA, strong unions there. It's not going to be easy, but the fact that they're serious and they're taking concrete steps ought to bring a smile to just about everyone's face.
Yeah, this is one of those circumstances with the VA scandal of the second term of Obama, where it was really hard to imagine a scenario in which no one deserved to be fired, right? I mean, Shinseki ultimately resigned several days later. He said he was getting false information sent up the chain to him, and he simply couldn't imagine how anybody could do that. Maybe we can chalk this up to, you know, an honorable military man being stunned that people lie in bureaucracies about how much work they're getting done and how productive they are and that problems are solved. You could say that's very honorable. You could also say that's very naive. Over at the that Phoenix clinic that seemed to have the worst of it, but you know, in more than a few clinics across the country, there were enough cases where you had to say, okay, this is not a matter of being overworked. This is not a matter of insufficient resources. This is just flat out incompetence. And the thing is, you're incompetent at the job you're supposed to do, but then you turn around and get really incompetent at covering your tracks about how incompetent you are. That's like the worst of both worlds. If you're incompetent and you can't hide it, at least the problem gets seen and somebody does something about it. If you're incompetent but you cover it up well, then you're pretty much the worst thing the VA could possibly get. So it's hard to imagine there aren't people who need to be fired. I suppose some people will scoff. This does seem like something out of the Weed Agency. We are creating new jobs in an office designed to eliminate jobs. So the budget folks may not be happy with it, but if the upshot of all this is a more accountable VA that gives better service to our veterans, that will be reason to cheer. So this is a cautiously optimistic good martini.
Yeah, well, like we've said before, we have to see what the actual results are, not just the intentions, because that's gotten us in trouble on a whole host of issues over the years. All right, on to the bad martini now, Jim. And yesterday, President Obama reemerged. He had an event at the University of Chicago where he was a law lecturer back in the day. It's his adopted hometown and so forth. And so, of course, the mainstream media just kind of sat there with their face in their hands, wistfully thinking of what the last 8-plus years had been like, kind of like junior high girls writing their last names according to the crush at the time with little hearts over the eyes and so forth. But it turns out, thanks to Politico of all places, that a closer look at one of Barack Obama's most controversial things shows a far worse deal on Iran than we actually would have thought. Here's Fox News reporting on who really got released here.
Stunning new bombshell shedding light on President Obama's nuclear deal with Iran. Some of the Iranian prisoners freed in a swap to sweeten the deal were reportedly threats to national security. This is how President Obama characterized them at the time. Watch.
These individuals were not charged with terrorism or any violent offenses. They're civilians, and the release is a one-time gesture to Iran, given the unique opportunity offered by this moment and the larger circumstances at play.
But now, Politico reporting, at least five were actively helping the Iranian military. One even linked to roadside bombs that killed hundreds of American troops in Iraq. Another accused of aiding Iran's nuclear program. Charges for 14 other international fugitives also dropped as part of that deal.
Apologies for the imitation Knight Rider music underneath that report. But, Jim, this is just horrific, making the case that these people were only economic violators of the sanctions, and it turns out they've got direct connections to people who killed our soldiers.
You know, there are two lessons from this. The first is that if you're an administration and you've got something really bad to do, do it 3 days before the term completely ends, and it's going to get lost in the shuffle, because I actually had not... I may have seen one or two quick headlines about this, but this was not a giant story because the entire main media environment was discussing the impending inauguration of Donald Trump and everything else going on with the transition, the cabinet nominees and things like that. So for, you know, a little, you know, 50 lashes with a wet noodle for the media for not paying nearly enough attention to this when the move was announced. But the flip side is that obviously the administration was pretty darn dishonest with this, and we should pay closer. You know, you'd think after, you know, the statement, all statements from Barack Obama come with an expiration date, all of them, we would have learned to look more skeptically and carefully at the, you know, yes, they are civilians, and no, they're not terrorists technically, Greg, but you know what we usually would call somebody who's transferring things you use in weapons from one country to another?
Smugglers, criminals?
Arms smugglers. Arms dealers, right? You know, like these are the classic bad guys of every, you know, action movie tale. They're the designated bad guys, and Obama's like, well, you know, they're civilians. Great, that, you know, technically terrorists are civilians too, right? I mean, this is not a matter of the fact that they're civilians doesn't mean much, and the fact that they're not, you know, look, they're not terrorists. They're just helping the terrorists, which, you know, the Bush administration doctrine. He announced after 9/11. I thought a lot of people really appreciated and enjoyed it. It was long overdue. That if you're helping a terrorist, you're a terrorist, right? We weren't going to make those kind of distinctions where you're able to say, well, look, I'm not the one planning the bomb. I'm just the one who's helping them finance the purchasing of all the parts of the bomb and things like that. No. None of this stuff anymore. So if you're doing what you can to help make the surface-to-air and cruise missiles of the Iranian military better, you're not a good guy. You're not on our side. You're violating the law. And yes, there is harm for letting somebody out of jail early. In the name of this cockamamie Iran nuclear deal. So depressing and disturbing, not unbelievably surprising, but really irritating that the administration managed to slip this one in right before the deadline.
Definitely the case. And of course, Iran basically got everything else they wanted in the deal. So why wouldn't they get this as well? It's just, once again, this administration torturing the language when it comes to a critical issue of national security. They certainly did it on immigration. They certainly did it with respect to the role of radical Islam and terrorist attacks, and now this situation with Iran. So, Jim, I'm not sure that stopping Iranian-made IEDs is the work of SimpliSafe, but when it comes to helping your home stay secure from bad people in your neighborhood and others who would do you harm, SimpliSafe is the way to go. And the good thing is it's pretty easy to get going. When you order your SimpliSafe home security system online, you're taking the first easy step to protecting your home and family. With entry sensors, motion sensors, and glass break sensors, soon you'll make your home a burglar's worst nightmare. And you'll be done setting it up in under an hour.
SimpliSafe comes pre-programmed to work right out of the box. You just plug in the base station and it will talk you through the entire process. Even someone who is not the least bit handy, me, can install it. So the entire system is wireless, so you don't need to drill holes in your walls or do any other permanent damage. And once you're all set up, SimpliSafe makes it just as easy to stay protected month to month. There are no long-term contracts and no hidden fees. It is just $14.99 a month for 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week professional monitoring and emergency dispatch service.
So don't wait another day to take your home safety into your own hands. Just get SimpliSafe. Go to simplisafe.com/ricochet right now to get 10% off your home security system. SimpliSafe. That's SimpliSafe.com. Go now. SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. And Jim, I have to confess, I'm right there with you on the handy part. I have had more wars with the string on my lawn trimmer than I care to admit. So don't feel like you're alone there. All right, on to the crazy martini now. And it's the story that just keeps on creating nightmares for the Trump administration, potentially, and certainly about the vetting or lack thereof that took place, not only when they brought Flynn into the campaign in some capacity, and certainly when they briefly named him National Security Advisor. The House Oversight Committee has been looking into some documents related to Flynn's lobbying work, namely for Turkey, and turns out there are Russia ties here. Here is Jason Chaffetz, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, with his part of his statement.
That money was received by General Flynn, and we believe that it was. That money needs to be recovered. That final determination, again, will have to come from the Department of the Army, as well as the Department of Defense. But as a former military officer, you simply cannot take money from Russia, Turkey, or anybody else. And it appears as if he did take that money. It was inappropriate. And there are repercussions for the violation of law.
And so there's Jason Chaffetz. That's not necessarily a clarification of any kind about the role Russia may have had with the campaign. Elijah Cummings is the ranking member of that committee. And in his statement, he said, quote, we've been trying for several months to obtain General Flynn's security clearance information to determine whether he reported payments he received for his trip to Russia in 2015 when he dined with Russian President Vladimir Putin. We have now obtained General Flynn's application to renew his security clearance in January 2016. This form is called the SF-86. General Flynn filed his SF-86 about a month after he traveled to Moscow. However, there is no evidence anywhere in these documents that he reported the funds he received for his trip. There's also no evidence that he sought permission to obtain these funds from a foreign source. And then he goes and talks about that knowingly falsifying or concealing a material fact is a felony, which may result in fines and up to 5 years in prison. So, Jim, this story just seems to confirm the bad instincts or the good instincts people had about the bad decision it might be to put Mike Flynn in a top position in this administration.
Yeah, a couple observations here, Greg. The first being that as bad as the Trump administration is having, as bad a day as they're having with all the news about former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn, it would be much worse to have this information coming out about current National Security Advisor Mike
True.
Flynn. So in a way, I think the administration really dodged a bullet when the controversy about him allegedly lying or not being fully honest with Vice President Mike Pence flared up only about 3 weeks into Trump's presidency. There were a lot of warning signs about Flynn. And what I don't quite get is this idea that you can forget to disclose payments from foreign sources over things like this. I mean, this is not a this sort of problem where most Americans say, oh, I understand how that happens. You know, like, you know, the oh, I you know, did a math error on my taxes or something like that. If you're getting paid considerable amounts of money by either foreign governments or independent institutions that are closely tied to a foreign government, you're probably going to remember that. If you don't remember that, you're probably making money hand over fist. And, you know, I'm just kind of left with this. The Turkish one kind of gets in my head. Did Trump like or did Flynn like did that just slip his mind? He just didn't think it would be relevant to anybody to know that he was getting this. So that was troubling enough. But I wrote about this. I went back and I checked. This was 2013. Apparently, if you ever see on a conservative site that doesn't write a lot about foreign policy, that all of a sudden they start writing stories about how important it is that a particular U.S. policy towards Ukraine change or a particular U.S. policy towards, say, Malaysia. In the past, we have had various representatives of foreign governments run around and offer freelance writers to write things on particular foreign policy topics. BuzzFeed had the story back then, and it was, you know, some people I respect and think highly of, but you if you're getting money from somebody to write something separate from the publication, you have to disclose that. And I remember writing about this, and man, there were some people in the conservative movement who were not happy about this. And you have to be upfront about where you're getting your money. And if it goes for journalists, you got to figure it goes for anybody who wants an administration job even clearer. If you've worked for a foreign government, that's automatically going to make your decision-making look a little suspect. People are going to wonder, is your thumb going to be on the scale, so to speak, for this foreign government? So I have zero sympathy for Mike Flynn in this situation. He had to know the laws for disclosing this sort of stuff. And I don't think anybody on the right should waste any time saying, oh, but Mike Flynn's a good guy or something like that. I'm very skeptical that good guys forget to mention that they're getting money from institutions like Russia or those close to Turkey or things like that. So Anyway, that's my my depressing take on it. But the good news is, as we mentioned earlier, Greg, this is ex-National Security Advisor, not the current National Security Advisor.
Exactly. And lobbying for another government, as long as you're properly registered, is not illegal. It's certainly something for an administration to take into consideration when they're evaluating whether they want you to come on board. And full disclosure of payment and where it came from is not only good ethics, it's the law. And apparently that hasn't happened here. So, Jim, we should let folks know that you'll be out the rest of the week. You'll be at the NRA convention where President Trump is going to address everyone later in the week. So have fun there. If there's any downtime, I noticed yesterday while refilling my water glass at work, there was an episode of The Family Feud on, and it was all blonde women, but it was the Gruber family. And I'm looking, I'm just wondering what the Gruber family on Family Feud would be like with Hans and Simon Peter and Jonathan and perhaps other members of the family.
Yes. Always mention the third Gruber brother. The most dangerous one of all, really, because of how he managed to effectively make a heist out of the U.S. healthcare system. So did they say that Hans and Simon and Jonathan were unavailable today or anything?
They didn't. It was a bunch of relatively young women, and so I think they were just kind of cheerful. Maybe they're not, you know, familiar with what their relatives, either close or distant, done. It's been a while since, you know, Hans led the attack on Nakatomi. That's the late 80s. We're pushing 30 years now, and it's been over 20 years since Simon Peter perpetrated what he did on Wall Street. So Jonathan's the one who should ring more alarm bells, I think, at least in terms of more recent heinous activity.
Kids today forget this. You know, we got to look up. It was sometime in summer, wasn't it, Greg? We got to look up the exact anniversary of the Nakatomi Plaza attack.
Well, that's
and our listeners who may recall, there was some martini where you and I went into fictional events and just fictional presidents. That was it for President's Day. We ranked all the other ones. We will hold a special edition of the Three Martini Lunch memorializing the anniversary of the Nakatomi Plaza attack. And we'll just see how many people pick up on it.
Well, as we know, that was Christmas Eve. So we'll have to make that part of our special Christmas Eve.
Oh, that's right. It must have been December, but it was L.A. So it was a summer movie, but it came out during Christmas time. That's right. Okay. So we'll add that to our holiday special.
Excellent. I can't wait. 30 years. Where's the time go? Jim, have a great time at the convention.
Thanks, Greg, and I will see you Monday.
Sounds good. Jim Garrity of National Review, off till Monday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, but do tune in tomorrow for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Ian Tuttle will be here in Jim's place. Reminder that we are sponsored today by SimpliSafe Home Security. Go to simplisafe.com/ricochet right now to get your 10% off your home security system, SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. Tune in Wednesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.